Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
If you're a Disney Plus subscriber and you're watching The Mandalorian, Jack and I have a podcast for you.
Every week, we'll discuss the latest episode of The Mandalorian and talk about other great content and maybe some not so great content on Disney Plus as well.
As two lifelong Star Wars fans, we have a ton of fun geeking out over all the little details of the show, and we want you to join us every Monday.
So search for Disney Plus Reviews. That's Disney P-L-U-S Reviews. Hey, Phil, how about that Baby Yoda? Baby Yoda says, what's the podcast?
Because it's that time of the year when people talk about Christmas.
I need to pull up a piano. If you're going to start, doing a Robert Goulet impersonation.
It's that time of year.
We could write a Christmas song right now.
What else with Corey Mann on the Studio DNA Podcast Network?
My guest is Canada's favorite son, Matt Maher.
Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Shall come to thee, O Israel. Rejoice, again I say rejoice, for unto us is born.
Matt Maher, how do you pronounce your middle name?
Guyon.
Guyon.
Yep.
Is there a story behind that name? Because that's literally the first time I've ever seen that name.
So it's actually a surname. It's a French surname. And it's my grandmother's, on my mom's side, her maiden name. It's like, they were Huguenots. So it was France and Belgium origin or whatever. I have no idea actually what it means. It was just literally my grandmother's maiden name. And my mom threw it in there. You know, which feels very... Naming kids, I'm realizing with parents, there's no grand, like the only thing is typically like you want it to mean something, but you usually focus on the first name. I didn't do that with my kids. I didn't just pick some random name, but like my daughter, her middle name is Eleni, which was the way to appease having two mothers, two grandmothers. So my mom's name is Melanie. My mother-in-law's name is Ellen. So we combined it to Eleni.
Yeah.
It's like a name sandwich. Yeah. So Guyon, it just kind of got thrown in there. And then, you know, I got confirmed. And when you get confirmed in Catholic Church, you pick a saint name. It's your confirmation name. And the whole idea of that was like in the scriptures when Jesus changed Peter's name. So I picked Stephen. He's the first martyr. My uncle that I was very close to, his name was Stephen. So I picked Stephen.
Have you ever experienced the rite of passage or your mom and dad yelling, Matthew Guyon, get in here?
I have not. They just never were in that sort of that tradition. I've done it to my kids, mostly because I think I watched TV shows of parents doing it to their kids. And I just thought, you know, that's a great way to emphasize, to be emphatic about something. So I've said, you know, Michael Connor Maher, you get in here right now.
When the middle name comes out, you mean business.
You really do. Yeah. You're like, I've exhausted all other options. So I'm going to use this name that we don't normally use.
On a Saturday in the neighborhood, I'd hear, Corey, at about 4:50 p.m. Do-do-do-do-do. I'm still playing. But then I would hear, Corey Richard. I'm running. Running.
You've got me curious now.
What's that?
The Guyon name, and why does it, what does it mean?
Are you texting your mother? Are you looking it up? What are you doing?
I heard someone say, I'm giving it a goog. It means forest. Forest is a borderline.
So maybe that's why you have such a special connection when you hear, run, forest, run.
I really do. I love that part of the movie. Yeah, especially when his magic legs break up and he's just sprinting in slow motion.
Yes.
It really, yeah, it means a lot.
This is very special for us to be able to announce. Your new album is called Magic Legs.
Yep. That's great.
What have you been doing? What are you working on? What are you excited about?
Oh, man. I've been doing a lot of parenting. Three kids. Oldest is 10. He did Little League in the spring and then in the fall. And now he's playing basketball. Daughter's gotten really into theater. So she's actually doing her first solo song. She was in a production of Schoolhouse Rocks at the end of the summer. And that one, she was just sort of like a fun member of the chorus.
But my son was in that, Matt.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was in that one as well.
And so now, I can't remember what the musical is from, but she's learning this one solo song that's part of a company called Theater Bug, and they do like a winter concert, and it's a series of performances of songs from a wide variety of shows. So, and then the youngest is 5 and a half, and he's in karate and just trying to keep up with the other two. And so we've just been really, I've been home, I've been traveling a little bit, but I have been secretly recording. So I basically in August spent all in all about 3.5 weeks at an undisclosed or to yet to be disclosed location working on my next full length studio record. So I recorded like 15 new songs and then did 6 live songs, and we'll see when it all comes out.
Did you walk into it going, I'm giving myself 3.5 weeks?
Without telling too much of the story, because I really just want people to hear the music first. One of the things I'm realizing about great music, great anything, a great movie, great music, great story, we know too much now. So that's part of the problem. So it's like, I don't want to color anyone's experience of my music anymore with the story of going before they hear it of, you know, I just want them to hear it and then ask them, you tell me what it's about. Because I've been watching all these shows, like everyone, like watching McCartney and Rick Rubin, and they're going through all the old Beatles stuff. And they're like, and he's telling all these stories behind it. But I didn't know any of that the first time I heard it. I just fell in love with the song. I went to a house with some friends, kind of had a relative. You have to have a time frame, because any sort of destination recording like that, you typically don't have the luxury of saying we're here until we're not, or we're here until we're done making this. You're like, we have a definitive amount of time. We need to get these things done. And so there's limitations, which are really good. Limitations are great because they kind of force you to do the best you have with what you have.
Limitation breeds creativity.
Yes.
You can be as creative as you want, but you've got to have a deadline.
You do. You need a deadline. You need borders, you know, because
someone to answer to.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so it helps inform your decision making, and it helps you make a decision. And I think especially because you live in a world now where there's like an ever increasing infinite amount of options.
Have you ever met the Pope?
The current one? Yes. I met him in 2016. I was part of a group of mostly actually evangelicals, non-denominational Christians from the United States who went to the Vatican and met with the Pope for like 2 hours and had a private meeting with him and got to ask him questions. And he just sat around in a circle.
Did you have questions ready, or did they come to mind when you were sitting there?
I didn't ask anything. I let them all ask questions. And my favorite, I mean, honestly, one question that got asked was like probably what I would have asked, which is there was a woman there who's a Methodist pastor and from Oregon. And she asked him, Pope Francis, she said, hey, I teach young people and I'm responsible for the spiritual formation of like young kids in our preschool and our elementary and, you know, all the youth ministry. And if there's one thing that you would feel like is the most important thing to instill in the heart of a young person, what would it be? And he said, teach them to worship God.
Teach the kids to worship God.
Yep. He said, because, to have a relationship with God that is expressed in worship is something that will never go away, and they'll carry it with them their whole life. And I was like, and he said specifically singing. And so it's true, because I run into people all the time who like quit going to church, 20 years ago, but I'll sing a song that they used to sing and it does something to them still. And they can't quantify it. You know what I mean? So I think music and participating in the act of creating music, which is what people do when they sing, it creates a lasting impression on a mental level, on an emotional level, on a spiritual level, on a physiological level. I've been ranting about this, but I'm not ranting, but just sharing this thing. I got to go find the actual article, but I was reading an article during COVID that was talking about the physiology of singing and how when people sing in a group, like at a concert, their hearts actually sync up together. Like not just like an emotional thing, but like a physiological level, hearts actually start to beat in a rhythm. They can actually sense, your body can sense other physical bodies nearby. Like you have more neurons firing in your gut than you do in your brain.
That might be the thing I missed the most in 2020 was, man, I love a great live show.
Yeah, and it's not just the thing of watching someone, it's actually being in a room with people. That's part of the show. Part of the show is being part of the crowd. It's not just watching, because there's so many artists recorded and filmed so much great content during like performances during COVID. And there's all these documentaries coming out and everyone's been quietly making music. But it doesn't replace like the thing of like being together and all collectively seeing this thing together and experiencing it together.
I was there when this happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I still remember my first ever rock show, Platinum Blonde, sixth grade, Memorial Stadium, St. John's, Newfoundland. It's a hockey rink that got converted. These guys were like huge in Canada. They had a hit song called Standing in the Dark. Their hair was so big.
I remember.
Yeah. And I threw my jacket on the stage. I have no idea why I did it. Someone talked me into doing it, which I'm like, what is this? Like, first of all, they're all guys. You're a guy. And what is this, a votive offering? What are you doing?
You're also in sixth grade. So it was probably a small or a medium.
Yeah. Like, it's not even like, and it was a really cool jacket because it was from Norway. My dad was on a business trip and it was this like military style jacket. And I don't know the brand. Like, I've actually spent hours on the internet trying to find it. And I'm like, you're an idiot. But music, they, art makes you do stupid things sometimes.
Well, I'm happy to let you know I've done the homework for you. I knew you were going to go there. And I do have the name brand of that jacket, Members Only. It's called Members Only. And I'm so glad to let you know that one is on its way. I chose the color of gray. Gray Members Only. Please enjoy.
Oh, man.
Do you remember a show where you first lost it emotionally?
Oh, man, that's a great question. Ninth grade, youth orchestra. Actually, no, it was eighth grade. I was in a district concert band. We were playing a piece of Christmas music by a composer named Leroy Anderson. I think it's called Christmas Festival. It's very famous. I mean, you hear it every time you'd walk through a Macy's. And at the end of it, the low brass, because I was a trombone player, woodwinds are going crazy playing all these patterns, and the low brass come in and start playing Oh Come All Ye Faithful. And it's like one of those classic things of like, it's like, and then, you know what I mean? And I started crying while I was playing. I was just so moved by the experience of it, you know? And I think it's like one of those things where your spirit is experiencing something, and you don't you can't even fully comprehend or process it, you know? So that's, tears usually come when there's, you know, you can't experience it any other way, if that makes sense.
You recently took another trip around the planet. Any thoughts about the life that was and the life that will be?
Whoa, plenty. I'm not sure I can condense them all.
Is 50 looming to you at all?
The idea of it? No. It's more surprising. It's just more so, you know, it's getting close. And the idea that I'm just going to wake up one day and go, like, you're 50 now. It's like, whoa, how did that happen? Like, to me, it's more sort of that. It's like, how did that, man, that happened real quick. And some of it's like, time passes faster the older you get. Your perception of time moves faster. So, you know, I think for me, the phrase that had kind of came, which was in, came out of scripture when I was grieving the passing of my dad that I'm still reflecting on is the whole idea of teach me to number my days. So I just think you get with another year going around, it's just sort of like, man, how do I spend my time the best possible way? Because we all have it the same amount, but there is something about the older you get, the more you want to be, you want to make it count more. You want to spend it more wisely, you know, with family, with friends, even musically creating, which also means carving out space to waste time. You know what I mean? It's like carving out space with kids to just say, hey, we're going to waste the time together. I'm not going to worry about anything else. And also, David Bowie might have been right about the internet.
Two movie quotes we were talking about this morning, and very randomly, and they're so appropriate right now. Saving Private Ryan, earn this.
Mm-hmm.
And the second one was Gandalf saying, all we have to do is decide what to do with the time that's given to us.
Yes. That's it.
That's first yours quote. For today. That's yours.
Thank you. I receive it.
Do you enjoy Christmas?
I love it.
Then let's go. As the Christmas season approaches, what song is it that you just can't wait to hear?
I'll give two answers. One is like, because there's two genres of Christmas music in my mind. There are Christmas carols and hymns, and then there's the post-World War II kitsch sort of Americana Christmas experience that is department stores paying for songs to be made. I mean, that it's a whole thing. So Christmas carol, hymn, All Holy Night. It's just such a special song. And I never get tired of the lyric. So, and I also know it's not going to be something that I'm going to listen to the day after Thanksgiving. So there, it's a sense of anticipation for that one. I think favorite kind of Americana-ish kind of Christmas song, Burl Ives, Holly Jolly Christmas. And there's something about it that is whimsical. You usually hear it while you're doing stuff. That's not a song you're like, let's sit down by the fire, pour some eggnog and contemplate our existence over Mr. Burl Ives. You're like, you're out doing. You're running to the store, you're in the supermarket, you're in a mall, you're getting in the car after a Christmas concert, you know. It's the kind of a song that accompanies you throughout the activity of Christmas. And to me, like, that's a real thing of like, that's a specific kind of Christmas song that that's awesome.
If you could travel back into your own past and briefly revisit any Christmas moment in your life, which one would you choose?
Wow. Sixth grade, first time I got a keyboard. First time I got a synthesizer. It's a Casio. It's one of the bigger kind of Casio ones that had drum pads on it.
Was it the one you wanted?
It was, yeah. And, you know, it's a combination of like, it's the one I wanted because it was the one that was at Radio Shack that I used to always, when I'm on the mall on Saturdays, when I'd be in the mall, I'd go by the Radio Shack. There's like several, I don't know if you did this on Saturdays, when you go to the mall, you know, you see a movie, you see a matinee, play some video games in the arcade, and then you would hit several stores just to see what they had, as if somehow things magically changed over the course of 6 days. But Radio Shack was always one of them. And Radio Shack, it's like, what cool remote controlled thing that I'll never own is there. And then I want to go check out the keyboards. And that was before there was like a music store that you went to. It was right. Just Radio Shack had everything and they had keyboards. So that one I used to I used to mess with all the time. And my mom surprised me. I didn't even know I was going to get it for Christmas. And it was so cool how she did it, because she composed this. It's like way involved. I'm like, you set the bar way too high. But it was like a series of like haikus, because it's Casio, it's Japanese. So it was like a series of like haiku poems that were clues as to where you'd go. So I'd go one part of the house and find another clue. And they were literally rolled up like scrolls. They were like scrolled up. Like, it was really detailed. Now I look back on a parent, I'm like, what were you putting in your coffee to get this done? Like, and the last one was like, don thy outer garments and go out into Tokyo Chariot, which was, we had a Mazda GLC, and it was in the trunk of the car.
A lot of people don't know that my first rock concert, eighth grade, was a band called Tokyo Chariot. I threw my coat up onto that stage, Matt.
Oh, man. Okay, can we start an 80s cover band called Tokyo Chariot?
Yes. Why are these? The one guy's from Canada, another guy's from Michigan, and they call themselves Tokyo Chariot. What do you typically do the day after Christmas when all's said and done?
Well, Canada's Boxing Day, so that was a thing. So usually the day after Christmas was you went and visited people. And as, you know, as a kid, it was go see other relatives. Then as a teenager and as a college student, oh, sorry, hold on, my dogs are yelling at someone. Yeah, and then as a college student, it was, yeah, go connect with friends, go to a Christmas party at someone's house. You'd still sing a lot of carols, do stuff like that. Christmas to me has always been a season. It's not a day. So from Christmas up until the Feast of the Epiphany, because of where I grew up in Newfoundland, Canada, they still celebrated in some ways the church calendar. So it was like Christmas started on Christmas Eve, but it went for 10 days. So there was just 10 days of holidays. And so you just kept visiting with family and friends. And Boxing Day was part of that. It also eventually did turn into a thing where there was Boxing Day sales. And so that was another, you know, you're going back in the mall. And like, sometimes your parent would give you like a gift, like not a gift card, because they didn't even have gift cards back then. It was like a piece of paper that said, you know, like Boxing Day gift. Because you really wanted to get something, and it was like, it was sort of this understanding of like, we're going to go get this at Boxing Day because it'll be on sale.
Much like Saturday Night Live with Tom Hanks and Steve Martin, you, Matt Maher, have now become my most repeated guest on this podcast since 2018. You now stand at 3.
Yes!
That's right, 3. And as a special gift, I've included another members-only jacket in the mail to you. This one is crimson. It's
okay.
Crimson.
Oh, I love it.
And it doesn't have a zipper. It's got buttons.
Ooh, is it made of pleather?
It's got that kind of vibe to it, yes.
Oh, very special.
Nothing a wet wipe can't clean right off.
What else with Corey Mann on the Studio DNA Podcast Network? Leave some feedback, write a review, hit the subscribe button so you never miss a new episode. What else with Corey Mann on the Studio DNA Podcast Network?
Oh my gosh, great to catch up with you, my friend.
You too. Always good to chat.